disturbed series has to do with the sufferings and glories of Christ in the Gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles. Shall we turn for the first message then to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name of Jesus is honey in the mouth, melody in the ear, and joy in the heart, said Bernard of Clairvaux. It is a sweet and a mighty name. Sweet because it is as ointment poured forth. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 3. And mighty because it is above every name. Philippians 2 verse 9. This name of our Lord is mentioned more than 1,000 times in the New Testament. There is only one Lord Jesus Christ. No other could ever execute what he has accomplished in human redemption. For this work, an infinite righteousness was needed. Expiation was needed for an infinite number of sins. For this, the Son of God was needed. He alone could atone. Considering these things, one can easily see that there is a sublime uniqueness in his glorious person and in that wonderful name, Jesus. Now we look first at his divine person. No man dare declare himself to be what our Lord claimed to be. The claims he made about himself are entirely free from self-esteem, self-assertion, or self-presumption. He does not speak with egotism or bigotry. He is unique and sublime. When man says, I am, we become very suspicious of it. When Jesus says, I am, then we must pay attention. There are seven great I ams in the Gospel according to John, in which our Lord makes the highest claim possible. I am the bread of life. Chapter 6, verse 35 of John's Gospel. He did not originate on earth, he says. I am the living bread which came down from heaven, the only one who can feed and satisfy men's souls by feeding upon him. I am the light of the world. Chapter 8 and verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He alone can light up our way and lead us from earth to heaven and through this waste, howling wilderness of earth and the dark valley of death. I am the door, chapter 10 and verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He alone can lead us into the salvation of God and into the realm where God is. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10 and verse 11. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Unless he did so, there could be no expiating blood and no justifying righteousness. I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 11, verse 25. He only has broken the prison bars of death and come forth from the tomb with the power of an endless life. Therefore he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 14 and verse 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He alone is the way to the Father, the truth about the Father, and the life of the Father. I am the true vine. Chapter 15 and verse 1. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He alone is the source of all fruitfulness and usefulness in heavenly things. There are two more I ams that are mentioned in John's Gospel, but without any additional phrase. Before Abraham was, I am. Chapter 8 and verse 58. This sets forth the eternal existence and his oneness and equality with the Father. The Jews understood this clearly and hated him because of it. And then in chapter 18 and verse 5, he said, I am. The he in the King James Version is not in the original text. Just I am. At this saying, in Gethsemane's garden, the Roman legion of soldiers, the greatest fighting men in the world, together with the temple police of Jewry, went backwards and fell to the ground. Chapter 18, verse 6. It was a shining forth of his deity. So, in all these verses, we see his divine person. Then we notice his divine authority. When any man says, but I say, we esteem his dogmatism to be offensive. That is, he is a self-opinionated person. But when the Lord Jesus says it, but I say, it is sublime and it is unique. This is the Son of God speaking. And when we hear him, we listen to the truth. There is divine authority in his voice. When our Lord speaks, as in Holy Scripture, it is never a mere view or opinion about things. It is not some conclusion drawn from help he has received from books. His word is final and authoritative. Nothing he says can be questioned. No appeal can be made to a higher court, for there is no higher court. In the Gospels, you will notice our Lord never argued, never reasoned, by weighing the pros and cons of a thing. Never used words such as perhaps or maybe. What he said was an expression of the mind of God, and therefore his words were all conclusive. Every word he spoke had in it the essence of finality and authority. But I say unto you, was the last word on any matter. When we listen to his words, we hear the words of God, because he is God. Nothing he said can be challenged. Whatever he said about God, man, creation, redemption, death, resurrection, heaven or hell, all is absolute truth. No word he ever spoke has ever been seriously challenged throughout the 2,000 years of history since he spoke them. Every man knows it. He may deny the truth, but in his heart, man knows what Jesus said is the truth. Then thirdly, we look at his divine lordship. Whatever he did or said was with divine majesty and sovereignty. King Canute of England once tried to command the sea from coming in, but had to move his throne in a hurry. But when our Lord said, I will, there was something sublime and unique in his command, so that even the wind and the waves obeyed his voice. His word to the leper was, I will, be thou clean. Matthew 8, verse 3, and immediately every leprous germ died out in the man and disappeared. The leper was made wholly and perfectly clean. His word promises rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When the Lord says, I will, then rest is assured. His word speaks of the future. If I will, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me, he said to Peter. John 21 and verse 22. His I will determines each man's future. His word speaks about glory. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Chapter 17 of John's Gospel, verse 24. This is the only time he used this authoritative word before the Father. He will. He will to put every believer safely and securely on glory's shore. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Listen to the words of Francis Ridley Havergal. O Saviour, precious Saviour, whom yet unseen we love, O name of might and favour, all other names above, we worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our holy Lord and King. O bringer of salvation, who wondrously hath wrought myself the revelation of love beyond our thought, we worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our gracious Lord and King. In thee all fullness dwelleth, all grace and power divine, the glory that excelleth, O Son of God is thine. We worship thee, we bless thee, to thee alone we sing. We praise thee and confess thee, our glorious Lord and King. Wondrous name, thou shalt call his name Jesus.